En, twee, drie. Ja.
Okay, everybody. I hope everybody had lunch and a bit of coffee, because we're gonna have quite a long, interesting session now after lunch, up until about 2 o'clock. So the first person out is my colleague Eirik Fosse, who is working for the FONI program, which is a really, really interesting program, which we haven't used a lot in our region, for the simple reason, among other things, that we haven't had a TTO here, but we do have now. So this program, I hope, will be a good opportunity for NTNU in the years to come. So the floor is yours, Eirik.
Thank you very much. Can you all hear me? Excellent. Thank you for the invitation. I have to warn you, I have a cold and a slight fever. So if I seem a little lower energy, or if I cough into the microphone, then you know the reason. My name is Eirik Foss. I'm Eirik Foss, senior advisor with the Norwegian Research Council. Just a few words about myself first. My academic background is I'm a bachelor in computer science from Massachusetts in United States, and I have a master in technology management from Trondheim. Professional background, mostly entrepreneur. I have co-founded three IT companies. I've worked in everything from small startups to large international organizations. And I joined the Research Council in August last year, so that's a little bit less than 6 months ago. Reason for doing that is that there is a very exciting digital transition happening that I think represents great opportunities for Norway. And research play a key role in this, and I also see the Research Council as playing an important role in facilitating this process. And I really wanted to be part of this. This is something that is close to my heart, and that's also why I joined the Research Council. I like to use this picture to illustrate the importance of standing out and be visible. We live in a global world where things are becoming more and more similar, and it's harder and harder to differentiate. And I think the same goes for Norwegian business. Products and service needs to be attractive to the world and to stand out. And for Norway, as a small country, to maintain our high standard of living, we are dependent on getting premium price on our products and services. Premium means advanced products and services, which again requires significant research, something that Norway is recognized for. But equally important is also commercializing these results, ultimately seeing new jobs, new businesses, new products and services reaching the market, the society. FONI is the Research Council's key instrument for commercializing results from publicly funded research institutions. The main objective is to see more research results reach the market and new business and new jobs. And we have various funding schemes to support this. Today I would like to talk about two of these: the proof of concept and student, and also mention a few words about the third one, local TTO projects. The proof of concept is for TTOs, for TTOs and for micro enterprises, new businesses. The objective is to commercialize promising research results, and the funding is managed through a national competition arena. Student is a pilot. It was launched in spring last year. We had two calls for proposals last year. It has it's targeting master students, and the objective is to promote entrepreneurship among students. And it has received great attention, very welcomed. The funding here is also managed through a national competition arena. Lastly, we have funding towards TTOs for their local TTO projects. Funds are allocated and managed by the TTOs, so it's not part of a national competition. And the objective here is to stimulate smaller commercialization projects in an early phase. If you look further into proof of concept funding, it targets all business areas and publics and privates, all sectors. It's an early phase of commercialization to reduce risk and to verify results. So I like to say that the research results are often to extent where they are ready to be commercialized, but they're still missing, there's still uncertainty attached to the project, which makes it too early for investors or customers to be part of the project. So proof of concept is about verifying that these results are as effective and work as intended, which we again will believe will release an interest from customers and investors. Which means that the projects are highly business driven, and the goal then is to make them customer or investor ready. It doesn't mean that if you look at the TRL scale level mentioned earlier in the presentation, it doesn't mean that it's going to be a shrink wrap product at the end, but at least we can lower the risk so that the rest of the commercialization can be picked up by others. In 2017, there will be a total of 140 million for proof of concept projects, distributed for two calls, one in the spring and one in the fall. The grant funding is between up to 60 to 80% of the approved cost. Project length is typically 2 to 3 years, and the calls are in April and September. So this is a tool or a program that is to compensate for let's say low supply of early funds, and I think we're seeing that it's very popular, and we're seeing that the results of this these projects, what's coming out of these projects, is really promising. So who can apply for proof of concept fundings? There are two target groups. We have the TTOs, Technology Transfer Offices, and I heard that there will be a local TTO contact point, or there is already one here. And the other one is the newly established business, micro-enterprises as defined by EU, whose activities are wholly or partially based on results conducted by research results from publicly funded research institutions. Excuse me. So researchers with a business ID, they have two opportunities. They can either contact the local TTOs and apply through them and develop the project together with them, or they can create a business and apply directly. These are the TTOs that we work closely with all of them. We have Norinova in Tromsø, NTNU in Trondheim, SINTEF in Trondheim, and also in Oslo. Bergen Teknologioverføring in Bergen. Kjeller Innovasjon right outside Oslo. Invento in Oslo. Valide in Stavanger. And Invento Sør in Kristiansand. The majority of the proof of concept projects are handled and managed through these TTOs. Between 20 to 30% originates from micro-enterprises. It's also these TTOs that receive funding for their local TTO projects. So together with the TTOs, we develop, I think, a culture for increased commercialization of R&D results from these publicly funded research institutions. Requirements for proof of concept funding, it has to be based on specific results from publicly funded research institutions. This is very important for micro enterprises, that they have to show that it really originates from research conducted at publicly funded research institutions. They have to be on an early stage of commercialization, meaning I think TRL level 4 or 5 is appropriate at minimum. We have to be on that level. Excuse me. So it means that we're before external investors, but we're still at a level where it's ready for commercialization. So if there are already other investors, so we want to reduce the risk to a level where the other investors or customers will be interested in and take over responsibility. So if they're already there, then this is not the right program. Then BF could perhaps be a more relevant program. The business idea have to and the research result have to show promising commercial potential, also internationally. The project have to focus on questions related to commercial, conceptual, and technological aspects. They have to address the IP issues. Doesn't mean they have to conduct a full assessment of the IP, but they have to have a certain understanding that they have the freedom to operate. Have a good understanding of customer needs and the industry structure. I also listed here that we need to see numbers. This is one thing that is recurring. We want to see, this is also the experts, I'll come back to that later, but what they're also requesting, to see the numbers, how this business is going to be profitable. You have to have done such an analysis, at least to a certain extent. And you have to understand, you know, who is the customer and who is the end user. Oftentimes that is not the same, especially if you sell through someone that is selling to the end user again. You have to understand, you know, what value are you creating for the customer, and you have to illustrate why is this an important problem to solve. How much is the customer willing to pay for this solution? What's the bargaining power? How is the competition? I think also it's important to for many of the projects to make sure that the scope is not too broad, because what we're trying to do here is create a bridge from academia to business. We want to see the research results end up in products and services and ultimately new jobs. And that's a challenging task to cross that bridge. And in these projects, we're focusing on, you know, try to find a minimal valuable product. Try to find the quickest and simplest approach across that bridge, so that once you get to the first customer, once you get to the first funding, you're in a whole different position to broaden scope at a later stage. Instead of trying to go too broad at an early stage, and then you only make it, you know, out on the bridge, but you're not really crossing it. So typical tasks are, you know, verifying the market potential, testing the concept, prototyping, demonstration, developing the business model, securing rights, establishing contact with customers, partners, users, etc. Other requirements, there needs to be a project manager appointed, obviously. Preliminary business model needs to be there. You need to have a thorough understanding of the problem and describe that and why this is important. Describe future relevant markets. Realistic overview of profitability potential, and also very important, have a clear plan of further investments. You know, what happens at the end of this project? We don't, if you compare it to baseball, we don't just want to get you on first base. We want to have a complete circle. On project plan, milestone, and real deliverables are obviously really important. For more details on all the requirements, please check out our website. So how to apply for proof of concept funding. The calls can be found at the Fornye 2020 websites. The calls are open 6 weeks prior to the deadline. applications are submitted and managed online. In addition to the electronic form, there is also a project plan you have to upload, a maximum 15 pages, that addresses the requirements I mentioned in the previous slides, and also CVs for the project team. For business partners, we require a signed agreement, but these are the business partners that will invest in the project, time and material or money. So it doesn't mean that, you know, you can have collaborating with many partners, but if they're not investing in the project, then they're just partners you work with. But if you're going to have companies that's going to invest in the project by own people, time, etc., they need to have a written agreement with them as part of the application. Templates for this can be found at the website. We recommend minimum one and maybe 2 to 3 partners. You don't want to have too many partners because it also creates a administration issue for you. And please also subscribe to our newsletter to be updated on future calls. The selection process I mentioned is a national competition arena, which I think stimulates commercialization. We promote and highlight the best projects, and I think we also stimulate then others to follow. So the biggest, the best projects, the most promising one, they cross the bridge first, and then they create a trail for others to follow. And also by highlighting them and showcasing them, I think we are also creating a lot of attention. So what we do is, when we get an application from you, we use external experts to evaluate these projects. So we have access to a lot of external experts, and we individually, per project, seek out what experts would be relevant for this project, to assess this project. Typically, 4 experts, very similar to what you see in BIA. Which means that we're not only providing funding for the projects, but we're also providing, I would say, like an acid test for the projects and real feedback from experts, valuable feedback from experts back to the projects. And I think this is important, as you know, the Research Council then also becomes an advisory for commercialization, where we are able to pair the best projects with the best people out there. And I think that process in itself is equally important as the funding. There's a lot of knowledge about and experience about innovation and commercialization that we can reuse and for the different projects to really get in contact with these experts and address certain issues. The evaluation process is carried out in 2 steps. First, we have an external evaluation from these experts, handpicked per project, and they grade the project from 1 to 7 of 8 criteria. These criteria you can find on the website in Norwegian and English. And based on these grades, the best projects are then invited to stage 2, which is a panel where the project invited in to present the project in front of the experts. And the same criteria that we used to grade the projects then. But it gives the project and the experts an opportunity to talk directly with the project. And again, based on these grades, the projects are arranged, and as long as they are above a certain threshold level and we have the funds, the project will then, these grades will be counting for who will be appointed or granted funding. Typical application processing time is 2 to 3 months for proof of concept projects. So takeaways for proof of concept. In 2017, $140 million to proof of concept projects. Grant funding from 60 to 80%. TTOs and new micro enterprises can apply. They have to be based and originating from publicly funded research institutions. And the calls for proposals are in April and September. The second funding scheme I wanted to talk about today is Student, which I mentioned is a pilot that we will continue. We had 2 calls for proposal last year. We will have 1 this year. Student is promoting entrepreneurship among students. Reason for having 1 call for proposal in 2017 is that, as I said, it's a pilot, so we are adjusting the dates according to what fits the schedule for the students. And we saw that we had a lot of applications in the spring, but not so many in the fall. So it doesn't really meet the requirements that well for the students to have it in the fall. So we might get back to having 2, but we'll try out 1 this year. Student is, like I said, been very well received. Norway needs more entrepreneurs and new successful companies. And this is an opportunity for students who see entrepreneurship as a career opportunity. And it's also a program to promote entrepreneurships at the universities and also promote entrepreneurship culture. And ultimately, we want to see this end up in more knowledge-intensive jobs and more advanced products and services. Target group for FONY is master students. 6 months until their final exam or 12 months after. So that's the range where they can apply. It's not just students, but at least 1 student have to be within that range. But there can be other people in the project group that does not qualify within these requirements. The business idea needs to be based on their studies, and it needs to originate from the university. So again, it's about building a culture of innovation and commercialization around the academia. So it's not about being a master's student and having an idea that is not related to your studies at all or not to the institution. So it has to be originating from that. And it's an opportunity for these students to take their business idea to the market and to work on this business idea for the next 12 months and to commercially verify their project. So what does a FONY student project receive? It's $1 million, 100% grant funding for 1 year to work on their project. So I think this is a really fantastic opportunity for students. The funding can be used to cover expenses for payroll, mentorship, advisory, technical demos, prototypes, etc. The aim and the whole process follows very much the same as you see for proof of concept projects, but it's a shorter time span. But it is, again, it's important to see that the projects have a plan for what's going to happen after 1 year. They really have to have a plan for that. And we're seeing that many of these projects are quite sophisticated. They have high quality, many of the student projects. So they don't stand back necessarily for the proof of concept projects. And I think it's really inspiring to see all these projects. So what does the students have to do? They have to establish a project team with a project manager. They have to base the project in the academic environment at the university. And also specify how the academia will contribute to the project. They have to find an academic mentor with also an expertise within entrepreneurship. They have to have addressed again the IP issues. They have to have a clear ID, you know, who has the ownership of this ID, so that they can actually take this to the market and have the freedom to operate. And they have to prepare the application in cooperation with the mentor at the university. The role of the university is obviously quite important for us. So it's not just about helping the projects, but it's also stimulating and building the culture of entrepreneurship at the schools. And we're seeing that just from the first round, that the attention that these projects got, and NTNU got most of the projects in the first round, and that really inspired our new universities to, you know, we want to be part of this. We want to also thrive at this. And so it comes back to, you know, the national arena, that by putting the best project up, we really see how the others get together to try to be part of this. But the universities have to submit the application on behalf of the students. The universities can submit multiple applications on behalf of multiple student groups, but it is the university that has to submit the application. And they also have to approve the project then. And once they do that and they submit the application, they also agree to provide an academic mentor for the projects. Also provide necessary infrastructure, not necessarily for free, but it's important that they try to help the projects as much as possible. They also agree to provide guidance and help the projects with expertise. And at the end of the project, they also have to submit a final report just describing what has been their role in the project and how have they helped this project succeed. The assessment criteria is somewhat similar to the proof of concepts. It's not that many, a little bit simpler, but they're very much commercially driven, and the same goal. You want to see these projects end up as businesses. In 2016, last year, 23 out of 83 project proposals received $1 million in funding, and we really hope to see many applications also from Gjøvik this year, not just Gjøvik but the whole area. And since I have a cold and a slight fever, I don't plan to stay for much longer after this presentation. I put up my my email address up there. I saw that there were a few of you that wanted to talk to me today, but please contact me either through email. I can also will you share the other contact details as part of
Yeah, I can do that. That's actually Patrick, Socrates, and Stuart, James, who have, I don't know if you're here, but are you all three here? So if you could call Eirik afterwards or contact me, we can set up meetings with you. And we're hoping you can come back quite soon also to talk more about FONY with the new TTO coordinator, Halmrast. That would be nice. We could all have a meeting, because this is a very interesting program, I find. Fantastic opportunities. The student program is amazing. So We should get our hands on that program.
I apologize for not putting my phone number up there, but I can say it out loud if some of you want to write it down. So it's 934-00-360. You can repeat that. 934-00-360. Any questions before I turn off? Yes? We don't require it, but it's a good tool. I think it forces the students to see all aspects of the business plan and to really challenge, you know, what value are you creating and who's paying for this and what are... So yes, I think they should use it, but it's not a requirement from our side.
So thanks a lot, Eirik.
Yes,
and
thank you.
God bedring. It's that time of the year, isn't it? Influenza time of the year. Nils is without voice and you having a fever. That's what happens. Thanks a lot, Eric. We're going to have a slight change of program. Swap the next presentations around a little bit. So the next person on is Christian Hedlev Eng, who is leading the Innovation Norway office for Inland Norway. I can get it up here. So while you're putting that on, I'm just going to find your presentation. Christian has, as I'm sure many of you, a background from industrial background, from Musta here in Gjøvik. And yeah, not least. Excellent. Yeah, really excellent. So you can be a consultant in your next life. Okay, the floor is yours, Christian. There you go.
Yeah, that would. Hello. There. Yeah, I was not supposed to start bragging about myself writing EU applications and R&D applications, but I agree with the first speaker today, Henning Mogeru, which said that you should have somebody other than a researcher read your application before you submit it. And I think that's been part of our success. I'm a marketing person myself, so it's always good to start an application with, you know, in a very simple way, explain how is this going to make the world a better place? How is this going to make the society a better place? And if you can't really explain that in a few words in the beginning, maybe you should just do a different project. Yeah. So, how can Innovation Norway contribute? I think instrument you just heard now from Erik Fosse was really taking the R&D up to the commercialization and the innovation, where the innovation actually happens. Innovation is not actually an innovation until it's out there and it's realized. It's in the marketplace. Somebody's actually using it. And that is where innovation has a role to make innovation happen and contribute to more innovation. That R&D or new ideas are becoming businesses and the value, creating value, creating jobs. We are also funded by different ministries. We have three main goals: is to contribute to more successful entrepreneurs, people that want to start up with an idea, creating a business, growing it, and employing more people. So growth entrepreneurs, successful entrepreneurs, that's one of our main goals. We had
more than 100 such applications that were successful in Uppland and Hedmark last year, out of 896 projects that we actually took part in and funded in 2016, approximately 100 were entrepreneurs or startups. We'll get more into that afterwards. And the other target group is growth companies, companies that have passed the first phase of starting up. They are now in a growth phase. It can also be a company that's 100 years old but still has an ambition to grow. It can be companies that have been stagnant or actually going down for years and then need a turnover and new growth. And we also have instruments to support turnarounds and inspire new growth in very, very established companies. Myself, I worked in a company that was 175 years old, and we kept growing. We hadn't always been growing, but we turned going down from going back up and growing and employing more people again. And then the third segment is the innovative clusters, people or companies that wants to have a common interest sharing technologies, developing technologies together, or sharing market insight, sharing competences and work in a binding relationship, forming a network or an industrial cluster. And we have a few of them here in Norway, or we have many of them in Norway, but just a few of them here in Innlandet, Oppland, Hedmark. We have NC Raufoss, which is known. We have I for Plastics, the plastic cluster with the core also in Raufoss. Heidner the biotech biotech cluster in Hedmark, Hamar, and we also have many other networks. So those are our objectives: to inspire and contribute to more of these innovations in these industry sectors. So how is entrepreneurship in Norway actually doing? Out of 100 business ideas, only 8% is actually succeeding in becoming successful companies. So it's from an idea, having an idea to becoming a successful business, it's a long and a difficult road, and very few are actually succeeding in building a company. And what are the reasons for the failure? These are the three most common reasons for failure. There's not a need in the market. There's not actually customers willing to pay for the idea or for the service or the product. Or the second most important reason is that it takes longer and it takes more resources than what you actually thought. So the company is running out of money before it starts to get enough income to support itself. And the third reason is that you don't have the right team. It's not, you have a core competence yourself and you need to pull up with somebody with a different competence maybe, and you have to form a team. And many times it's not the right team to make this. The product could be super, the idea could be great. The market might want it and you might have a lot of money to actually make it happen, but you're not the right team to make it happen. So, yeah. But number one is that there is not a market. There is not enough customers wanting to pay for your actual product or your actual service. And when I went to school a few years back, we wrote business plans and we made products and we tried to follow this route of developing a product. Redefine a solution. You make a product, you do product testing after a while, and then you do a product launch. And you spend a lot of money along the way, and when you start testing it on the customers, you realize you realize that the product was not exactly the product that the market was asking for. Because the learning starts a little too late.
the lean startup business modeling. And that's what's happened when you make a product like this. You design a gateway, and you construct it, and you put it up, and then you see afterwards that the people are actually using the way around it. It is, doesn't really fit the need. It's a waste of time, and it's a waste of money. So the lean startup method tells us that you need to get out there faster to check out with customers, with potential customers, if they would potentially or hypothetically be willing to pay money for your idea. And you need to start to get out of the building. You need to get start. You have to start getting out of the university campus to get out there to ask people, are you willing to pay for this solution if I can make it happen? You have to gain market insight from customers. You have to design a minimum viable solution. Erik Fosse mentioned it, a minimum viable solution. So you can communicate to a potential customer, what is this going to do for you? That could be as simple as a drawing on a napkin. Then you have to test it in the market, and you have to evaluate the results. So the learning happens along the way. The process goes much faster. You spend less time and you spend less money, and the solution ends up being different than what you would have initially thought and constructed. Yeah. So you have to come up with a minimum viable product and test it quickly. And how can we contribute? We have approximately 700 people working in Innovation Norway. We have 19 district offices. We have one in Hamar, one in Lillehammer. We are 26 people working here in Oppland and Hedmark, Innlandet. We are two of us here today. Marius is sitting up there. You can meet me and him afterwards. We have 35 offices around the world where we are very well connected with the local business communities, also with the universities. We can open doors, we can connect you with the right institutions and possible customers, and also share market insights in different sectors with you. That's our strong asset, our competence in the market field. So we know that we are close to the customers in Norway. We are here regionally with 26 people. And we have 35 offices around the world help you go internationally. And what exactly do we do? What can we, in which ways can we help? We do financing with financial instruments, loans and grants. We have competence in different areas that we can share with you. We have counseling one-on-one or one-to-many like we do today. We have marketing tools, and we have networks that we can open up and make you become a part of. Let me start with the financing first. And in order to get financing, and to it requires a certain innovation level on your business idea. It has to represent something new. Doesn't have to be a global news, but it definitely has to be a regional news. And it has to have a certain level of innovation. But then innovation doesn't have to be a new product necessarily, but it has to, it could be just a new way to reach the market, for instance. So the innovation can be many different things. It has to have a certain market potential. It has to be a market big enough to support not just you as an entrepreneur, but also a company that can grow and employ more people. And it preferably should have an international potential. It should be a business model that, it should be possible to construct a business model that is profitable, or a good business model that you can make a business out of and make profitable growth. A substantial part of the value creation needs to happen in Norway. It cannot be a one-person firm in Norway and then 350 people working in China or in India with a back office operation. It needs to have a, everything doesn't have to happen in Norway, but has to be a substantial part of the value creation needs to happen in Norway. And as we are, our instruments are taxpayers' money, so we have to spend them wisely. We will use them for the companies where we actually make a difference, where it makes a difference that we are contributing with taxpayers' money. If this is a huge company with a lot of own resources, we don't have a role in contributing to that company. So we need to make a difference in what we do. And the capability of the company needs to be in place. It needs to be a team or an organization or a structure that is, or at least likely that this structure can make this solution happen or be realized in the marketplace, have an implementation capability. The business needs to be sustainable, not only financially, but also has to do some kind of good for the community. At least it cannot do bad for the community. Preferably it has to do good. And it also has to do good for the environment, at least not bad. And those are checkpoints that we are using more often than before. We are asking different questions that we used to do. I mean, do you, with your company, do you open up for trainees? Do you have a HMS policy? How are you treating your environment? Are you contributing in any positive ways? How is your carbon footprint? Are you working in ways to improve your carbon footprint in what you're doing? Are you recycling? Are you, yeah. These questions are more frequently asked now than before when we mostly concentrated on the business model itself. So, what are the steps in your business development where we can contribute in with a financing scheme or a financial instrument? The first idea, we talked before about you need to get out there quickly to check out your idea with a potential market or potential customers. In that phase, we have that's called a market clarification phase. Checking out, is there somebody willing to pay for this solution if I make it later on? In that phase, we can contribute with a grant up to 100,000 NOK for you to check out if your idea has a certain market potential. We can cover 100% of the external cost in that phase. Not salary, not money for you to take out, but for your external cost doing that market check or making that minimum viable product so that you can check out in the market. That is the first phase where we can contribute with a grant of 100,000. If you can come back to us and say, well, I think I've done some tweaks here, I've done some more thinking, I got a lot of feedback, I did some learning, but I think this can fly. I want to go on. I want to put more of my own time and money into this, and I need some more financing to make it happen, to actually go out in the market and try to make the business happen. Then we go into the commercialization phase, the phase of the making the commercialization. That phase we can contribute with up to 700,000 NOK in grants. This is money that you don't have to pay back. If you already got the 100,000 Norwegian kroner in the first phase, you will only get 600,000. You can only get a total of 700,000 in these first two phases. Then we can cover up to 75% of the external cost, meaning here you have to put a little bit of money into it yourself as well, on top of working for free. When you've done that, you are in the market, you have done some test sales, then there's a very good instrument called industrial R&D or public R&D, where there's more D than R, more development and research, I would say, where you can actually go to a certain customer where you see that they would probably have a need for this service or product that you have. It could be a public office, it could be the municipality of Gjøvik that needs a new training tool for their schools or for their health sector or whatever. Or it could be a public company, a private company. And you connect with them, you make a little contract with them where they commit to helping you, giving you the input that you need. And they also commit that if you are able to supply them the solution that they have defined, they will actually buy it. That's a good scheme. And it's a contract, it's a partnership between you as a supplier and a customer, a private or a public customer. If you're a small company, meaning that you are less than 10 million euros in sales or less than 50 employees, which I suppose most of you have, you're in that bracket, then you get a grant from Innovation Norway up to 45% of the cost of that project, that development project. You probably have to do development, you probably don't have to do research, but you definitely have to do some development to get to a solution where that customer, to satisfy that particular customer. It's an extremely good instrument to pull in the right direction to succeed with a product that where the customer is actually with you all the way. Yeah. We are very keen on supplying instrument for technologies that contribute to a better environment. We call it environmental technology funding scheme, funding instrument. And it's the same thing there. If you come up with a solution that is contributing to a better environment, one way or the other, we can, and there also you could have a customer in the other end or partner up with you to define what they would like you to develop. But you don't have to have a customer. But in order to pilot such solution, we can also fund you with grants up to 45% if you are a small company, and a lower percentages if you are a larger company, medium-sized company. Medium is from 10 million up to 50 million euro, and large companies are above 50 million euro. Yeah, these are good instruments that has a lot of national funding, and we're looking for more projects in these two areas, environmental technology or industrial or public R&D projects. Yeah, and then you get bonuses if you cooperate with more companies, smaller companies, etc. Those are details that we can advise you on if we are getting into a project like this. Then we have some another instrument. Then we go from grants, which are money you don't have to pay back, to loans. Loans is money that you do have to pay back if you succeed. You need to match it up with some own money, private 50% equity, but you don't have collateral, meaning you don't have security there, because you don't have a huge company yet, you don't have a lot of assets, maybe, probably not. We are not going to ask you to put your house as a collateral, or your apartment, not even your car, maybe your boat, but you have to have some kind of collateral, but we are giving you money with a limited security, sometimes none. But we believe in your project, we believe in you as an entrepreneur, and we believe that you have a product that, and you already demonstrated that you have a product that somebody is willing to pay for. We already shown us that you have pilot customers, that you have been able to generate sales and have some income. But at a limited scale, this is loans, it is money that you need to grow the company. Employ two, three more people. Build inventory if this is a physical product. Develop a bigger solution for a customer or a market segment. And you really have to push the gas pedal. That's where you need loans. And if you fail and the company fails, we don't get anything back. But that's okay. Sometimes. The good thing here is that we can pair up with a bank, another financial institution that is willing to give you a loan, but too little. They need collateral. They cannot take as much risk as we can. But they could probably say, or many times they say, well, you need 5 million NOK in loans. We can give you 2, but then Innovation Norway has to give you the other 2 because this is too risky for us. And then we can do that. And then you come up with 1, maybe, yourself. You have to finance 5 million. Bank takes 2, we do 2, and you have come up with 1 yourself. That's a typical funding scheme for a innovation loan. Yeah, and then we have more regular loans that are competing with banks, same type of interests, where we also need the collateral. We don't want to take more risks than the banks on these traditional regular loans. Then there is also the EU instruments for the small and medium-sized enterprises, SMEs. When you then your product or your ID is fit into one of the SME programs that are listed, I don't know the names of them, but they have to fit into the EU programs. We can advise you on that, and there's huge money there, really. So if this is a good project, a good product, we definitely would advise you to go for an EU type of financing. Then you do a preface, market clarification preface, up to 50,000 euros, where you get a 70% funding, and a market introduction, next phase, up to 2.5 million euros with the 70% funding. What I didn't mention was that on these projects, and on the environmental technology project and the industrial or public R&D projects, you can also put some of the payroll cost into the cost side of the product. You don't have to work for free entirely. Yeah, and then you have SkatteFUNN. Will you mention that later on, Elisabeth? SkatteFUNN?
I'll just mention it, so go ahead if you like. Yeah. I won't say much about
it. Yeah, because some of these can be combined with SkatteFUNN. Great scheme, instrument that is administered by Forskningsrådet, Research Council. So, from the idea generation where you get grants to the market, you have a proof of the concept, you have customers willing to pay for it, you have shown that you're getting some income, you can get more grants and you can get more loans with high risk where we come in, you can partner up with a bank that has more money where they don't want to take risk, and so on. And that way we will be able to walk with you step by step until you have a successful market introduction and you have a growth company. That's the financing. Quickly into some of the other instruments that we have. We have competence. We have we can supply with a mentor. We have a huge base with people with a lot of experience that have been where you are and can go with you along the way and give you feedback and counseling step by step. We can provide you with a mentor where we're actually paying the mentor to be your mentor. We have programs, international programs, where we take the most promising entrepreneurs out to these international programs. We have one in Silicon Valley, which is very popular, where you meet investors, you meet R&D institutions, you meet innovative companies, and you meet other similar Norwegian entrepreneurs as yourselves. And we have several of these type of international programs where we would like to have more companies or entrepreneurs from Oppland and Hedmark and be able to finance their this is like a study tour, but it's hard work really, and it's very, people that have been there are very, very happy with it. It's a good, it's a boot camp, it's a training camp, yeah, various length from 3 weeks to 3 months, I think, yeah, depending on where you go. And it has different focuses. Some are on marketing, some are on R&D, or some are on startups and emerging markets as a profile. If you want, really want to target to Africa, Middle East, Asia, Latin America, we have certain study programs and or the booth camps for that also. And these booth camps are happening in the actual market, orchestrated by also our local offices there. And we finance this. Most of it, you have to have a certain funding yourself, down to 20,000 NOK. But the value of a program like this can be several hundred thousand. So it's a good value for money program to invest in if you are willing to or wanting to succeed or go international with your concept. Yeah. We are counseling, we have traditional business counseling. You want to discuss your business model. We have international counseling. We can use our offices abroad. We can sit on our VR system in Lillehammer and Hamar and have a one-to-one conversation with with other people on the other side, from Beijing to the Silicon Valley, and discuss a certain market opportunity if you want to do that. We have technical trade counseling on regulations, wherever actually, and depending on what the issue is, we can support you and counsel you in most of the technical trade issues. Intellectual property right, we also have specialists in that. We can help you discuss whether this should be protected or not, how you do it, what does it cost, what's the way of doing it, answer some of these questions. And we have specialist in EU counseling for EU market. What are the rules and regulations? What are the do's and don'ts? How can you best market your product within the EU context? And then we have the market and marketing and profiling type of services. We do business expos around the world for certain categories of trade, certain industries. Where we make the infrastructure, and you just take your suitcase and your roll-up, like which I didn't do today, unfortunately. You take your roll-up and you show up, and you are on a fully equipped business delegation with a stand, and you are part of a Norwegian community there, if it's wherever it might be. We do international seminars and study tours. We will do one into China now. In March, the beginning of March, 6th to 10th, we will have a study tour to Shangyaku and Beijing, the region that's going to host the Winter Olympics in 2022. They have asked for the competence that inland Norway, the winter part of Norway with snow, mountains, and experience of arranging Olympics. They want our knowledge, they want our wood houses and cabins, and they want our to be tourists in our area, and they want to learn from Norway as a winter destination. So we are arranging a study tour there in March. We have an information meeting next Wednesday in Oslo. What this is all about, and then after that you can commit to going to China with us at a low cost in March to meet partners in China. So this is how we get into a new market, which is hard to
do just by yourself, but it's well organized and you meet other companies that have the same interest as you have. Hmm? 2 minutes. Perfect. And then we have the networks. In Norway, there are lots of networks and clusters that are operating, well functioning, and we, as a startup, you need a network. We can get you into those networks. Yeah. And for more information, you go into our websites. You can read about the different products, programs. Our programs can be applied for anytime. We don't have dates like the research councils where you have to apply certain days or calls. Our programs can be applied for all year. And you can also call the phone, special phone for entrepreneurs, and get advice on how to make an application and what to do, what not to do, and so on. And Marius, my colleague, and myself, we will be here after this event, and also we have booked a couple of meetings, but we will be able to also meet with more people if anyone wants to speak with us. So, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Christian. And your closest office is Lillehammer, as you said.
Lillehammer and Hamar.
Yeah. We're going to take just 2 minutes to stretch our legs, okay? So I think there might be some coffee still, but not much more than that. But a couple of minutes just to stretch our legs. And be back here in a couple of minutes. Okay, I think we're gonna start up again. If that's okay. We're running a little bit behind schedule, but that should be fine. That means I will shorten down the next presentation a little bit. And as I mentioned before, we will send everybody who's registered the presentation. So if you can't find your name on the participant list, please let me know and I will include you on the list. So we will send you all the presentations after the seminar in case you want to take a look at them. I will then just briefly go on to, as we swapped the last presentation with this one. I'm sorry, may I ask you to continue later? We're going to talk about, I'm going to briefly talk about the Free Pro program. As I know that some are interested in the Free Pro program, and you have also been, and Tinu Jørvik has also been very successful in this program already before you were NTNU. We have one of the successful, all the successful applicants here, actually today. You landed the Free Pro Toppforsk recently. Yeah. Excellent. So Free Pro is our program for research independent projects, project research, and Free Pro is let's say one of the most advanced programs we have, definitely in our portfolio. So Free Pro stands for or has looks for projects which are really high research quality, very bold, basic research, scientific renewal, definitely a high level of research, and scientific quality is at the forefront of this program. We're looking for forefront international top research, bold ideas, and not least for young successful research talents, and forwarding them. So Free Pro is all about excellent ideas, exceptional research quality, and groundbreaking results, groundbreaking research. So if you want to apply for Free Pro, you should really ask yourself at least these questions. Are you among the best researchers within your field? Do you have an outstanding project? Is your idea really new and bold? And is your proposal well written, of course, because competition is really high when it comes to the Free Pro program. So in addition to having excellent research, you also have to have write an excellent application, of course. You can choose from different types of schemes within the Free Pro program. We have mobility grants, for example. We have a special scheme within Free Pro for young research talents. You can find everything about this also on our homepage if you want to read it. And I know you have in-house expertise also on Free Pro, so you can get advice there. Research programs and the Free Pro Toppforsk, which you already have one project here at NTNU Gjøvik. Do you want to say a couple of words about it? How do you all know that you have a Free Pro Toppforsk? You can say at least tell us the theme and things like that. Could be nice.
No,
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. And you were the first, did I say that? You were the first university college, when you were a university college, to get such a project. So that's super. There are other options in FreePro. As I said, I will be short about FreePro to save some time. We have personal overseas grants, support for events, which is not specific for FreePro, but we have that in many programs. I will say a bit more about that later. The FreePro Toppforsk is a joint initiative, actually. So we will have another possibility to apply for that this year, with 500 million available for this type of project. And as I said, this is probably when we look at the project funding schemes we have, this is possibly the most difficult one, or definitely the most difficult one to go to get funding from. And we, as you can see here, we've had a success rate which is sometimes below 10%, even somewhere between 6 and 15, it says here, over the last 5 years. So it's a pretty tough competition to get in here. We get a lot of applications, and we don't have money, of course, for all applications. But as you can see, the success rate in FreePro is quite a bit lower than most other programs we have, where we have a success rate up to about 40%, sometimes, normally probably around 20-25%. But in the case of FreePro, it's really rough, tough competition, and we're really looking for the excellent projects. So if it's not really innovative, forefront, international forefront research projects, I would recommend you to go elsewhere in our portfolio and not for FreePro. But FreePro is, of course, an excellent program if you have that type of forefront research project. FreePro is divided into different areas. So we have the FreeNATech, which is the part of FreePro, which is focusing on what we're talking about today, for instance, information technology. So if you have an information technology project, you should apply for the FreeNATech call. And the call, I will jump this a little bit, I'm sorry. The call this year will be with a deadline 24th of May. So the call will be available, as usual, 6 weeks before that, sometimes in April, online, and the deadline will be 24th of May. That's the usual call time for FreePro projects, which are research projects again. All right. You can read more, as I said, and you have, as I mentioned, also very good in-house knowledge about FreePro. So use that for those who are working on the FreePro project already. Yep. No, unfortunately, we can't give that now. We don't know for sure, but I will be happy to provide that as soon as we know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. We're not sure, unfortunately, yet. But but I'll be happy to find out as soon as the program committee has decided on that. So yeah, it's a little bit early in the year still. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It does, yeah. We're always waiting a little bit for the state budget to settle and, you know, to see what we get funding for. But it should be available quickly, yeah. Anyway, I think I'll stop there, actually. And if we could we ask Hege to take over? Hege is the leader of the Regional Research Fund, and she will talk a bit about the fund, what the fund can offer. Hege and I are not the same organization, as I said, but we're collaborating very closely. Okay, the floor is yours. Yeah, sorry. Den är nog på, men bara muta, tror jag.
Okej. Fungerar det nå? Yes. My name is Hege Torø, and as Elisabeth said, I work for the Regional Research Fund here in Hedmark and Oppland. I'm based in the County Council, Fylkeshuset, both in Hamar and Lillehammer. The main objectives of the research funds are as stated here. It's stated in our guidelines. I would say that the main aim of the funds is to contribute to an attractive region where we can see growth and value creation. The tools are R&D, where the funds can help to mobilize and to increase the quality of the research projects. We do that, of course, in cooperation with other national and regional instruments. We got funds allocated from the Ministry of Education and Research. The funds are allocated directly to Hedmark and Oppland. We do not speak about a huge amount of money. We got about 15 million for spending this year. The regional research funds are rooted in the region through the R&D strategies and order letters from the county councils. There's a new R&D strategy coming up for Hedmark and Oppland. The county councils also appoint the regional boards, and the boards make their own action plans. As you can see, there are seven regions in Norway. Innlandet is one of the smallest one. We work in two counties. Going through the calls that we have for 2017, first of all, the qualification support, it's a kind of a feasibility study where you address challenges that are critical to improve the quality of a major project. You often use this scheme in preparation for a main project, and the objective is to increase the quality of the main project. The intention is that you should qualify for further support from either the regional research fund, the research council, or EU programs. The call is open for for many sectors. It's both private companies, public institutions, and universities, college, and research institutions. It's not giving a team, so you can it could be covering different or kind of teams. You can apply for a maximum of 500,000. It can be a maximum of 50% funding, and you have to remember that it's all stated in the state aid rules. The project can be a maximum of 1 year. It said that there is no application deadline, but you have to be aware that all the applications will be discussed in the board meetings. So it means this year we have planned for 6 meetings. The dates will soon be available on our website. But the first one is coming up the 17th of February. So the next deadline is then the 3rd of February. But I would ask you to get in touch. I think it's a much better way of applying that we actually start discussing, looking at your project instead of you applying at the deadline. Applying at the deadline gives us very little time to ask questions, to discuss and find out if there is any problems or questions about the project. You have to, like I said, it's open for both companies and R&D institutions, but there has to be a cooperation between a company, it could be public or private, and it has to be a cooperation between the company and the R&D institution. We think that's a success factor of the project, that you have both the researchers and the value side of the project. This call is, as I said, is no application deadline, so it's running all the time, but there will be 6 meetings during the year, so that's... we just put out a call this week for innovation projects for private companies. So here there has to be a private company that actually applies. But we demand that there is a cooperation with the R&D institution. The call is based on the R&D strategy, the order letters from the county councils, and you can also recognize what Innlandsutvalget said in their report. So what we are asking for is project that will use information technology as an enabling factor of how to use ICT smarter and within the following areas. So it could be bioeconomy, tourism, innovation in public sector or manufacturing industry. The project should contribute positively to the green shift. The application deadline is the 15th of February at 1 o'clock. Remember, 1 o'clock, then the application must be handed in. There is 8 million kroner available. It's a maximum of 50% funding, but again, the maximum has to be following the state aid rules. We are also planning a call in the autumn. This is a planned, it's not finally settled how it will look, but it will be a broader scope than this spring. We are asking for the use of enabling technology as an enabling factor and within the same areas. We are also looking for project that will positively contribute to the green shift. But we will also encourage that project's partners connect across industries. So that's the plan, but there might be changes. So yeah, you're the first ones to see this today, but we will shortly put out some information on the website. The application deadline will be in October. Just included the assessment criteria for the grant applications. Those of you that have been applying to the Research Council will recognize the first ones, the first 7 or 8 ones. We are looking for innovative project. We are looking for potential for value creation, how you will realize the innovation, the level of research, and also the R&D project quality and your implementation capacity. All of this is evaluated by our expert panels when it comes to the main projects. And they will be given marks on every. So you need to answer or show how you will answer all of these areas. I ask you to read carefully the calls and answer all the questions. Add all the relevant and demanded attachments. It is important. When it comes to the main project, there's a competition and there's a deadline, and I'm not really able to ask for additional information. When it comes to the qualification support, it's different. It's a running scheme, so we can have a more discussion or a talk about the projects. The three last ones is important for the regional funds. We are looking for the regional relevance and the regional value creation. We are a regional fund, and we are funding the things in our region. Yes, so we do work closely with the Research Council. You will recognize the electronic application forms. It's the same as the Research Council. And as I said, we also use the expert panels that the Research Council put up. That's all I had planned to tell you. Here's some of my contact information. You will find information at the website, regionaleforskningsfond.no, and also at Facebook. But I'm sorry, the information is mainly in Norwegian. But I encourage you to get in touch if you plan to apply.
Excellent. Any questions for Hege? I know many of you have probably applied already. And the Regional Research Fund is an excellent partner for us and an excellent complement to using both mine and Christian's schemes. And we're working closely together, everybody. So, thanks a lot, Hege. We'll continue with our center schemes a little bit, a few words about that, because I know that NTNU Gjøvik is interested in our center schemes. And that's great, because we should use that scheme also more than we do if we can manage. Let's see. Here we go. I'm going to talk a bit about our Centers for Research-Based Innovation, the so-called SFI scheme. As I told you before, we have a lot of different schemes, possibly more than 60, we think, project funding, all sorts of funding for research, funding for companies, tax deduction schemes. We have a lot of different things, but we also have this center funding scheme, which is specific to us. As you know, we are sharing a cluster funding scheme with Innovation Norway, which is excellent, and which is currently funding three clusters here in inland Norway. But the center scheme is specific to us, and I'm going to talk a bit about one of the three centers, because we have three center schemes. We have the Centers of Excellence, the SFF, which is focusing on excellent research, basically. And there is no such center here in inland Norway right now, but we have 21 across the country funded by us so far. And that's really, it's similar in a way when it comes, in advancement in a way to FreePro, because it's the most difficult, most advanced, I would say, scheme we have for centers, really. And this is the scheme which has been financing the MOSA research, for instance, the research by Mr. and Mrs. Not anymore, sorry, by by ex-Mr. and Mrs. Moser. And it's an excellent scheme. The other center we have is the Center for Research-Based Innovation, SFI. And I know that there is interest here for that particular scheme. And it has a different focus, more industrially oriented, in oriented towards research for industrial activities and companies. And we have one such center here in inland Norway, based at Raufoss, SFI Manufacturing. And then there's a third variant of these centers, which is the Centers for Environmental Friendly Energy, the Am I back? Okay, let's try. See if this one stays for the rest of the day. So these are the three centers, center types we have. I think I didn't mention that we don't have the last one either. So out of these three center schemes, we have one so far in inland Norway, and of course we want more, because this is these are excellent centers with excellent funding. And we should have good possibilities in landing more, I'm sure, and not least here. Characteristics of the SFI is a research area which has a high potential for innovation and value creation. So we need both for this here. It's not an SFF which will have a focus on basic research, but here it's, as I mentioned before the battery went, innovation for the industry, for companies, which is focused for this center structure. Active cooperation, naturally then, between innovative companies and a prominent research group, as we see at Raufoss, where the cluster there is working closely with SINTEF and you as well, within that SFE scheme they had there. High scientific quality of research, a clear bridgehead for international cooperation as well, usually a clear connection to other clusters, for instance, in other countries, or researchers in other countries, and also a base for recruitment of talented new researchers. So you need both the company partner and the research bit in here. You can also have public partners in this scheme. Other expectations to the SFI scheme is a focused effort within areas where Norway can make a difference, where we have competitive advantages, where we possibly also can become international leaders of research within that specific area, such as the one, the SFI we have at Raufoss, is particularly focusing on manufacturing, effective ways of manufacturing things in high-cost countries, which is something we need to be really good at, of course. Coordination for the strongest research groups within that area, whether it's in Norway or elsewhere, and to be a central base of competence in Norway for that type of area you're focusing on, of course, is a prerequisite to get a center scheme at all. And also, of course, to give visibility to Norway as particularly good in that field of research, and to again to recruit talented scientists nationally here and also internationally to the center. An SFI, very shortly, is organized in the following way. It has a host institution, research partners, and also absolutely crucial here, enterprise and public partners. Normally a cluster would be a public, sorry, enterprise partner to such a scheme. The host must be a university college, research institute normally, or a R&D performing company. That means a company which is performing the R&D themselves and not buying R&D. Or it can also be a public service provider. The academic institution must have a PhD program, which is not a problem for us, obviously. And the center should have a manager, and it should have a board, and the board must have a very active participation by the companies who are within this scheme. So normally within the center, as within most other projects or programs, the activities will be organized in work packages. And we have 24 such centers already running, as I said, only one here. The advanced manufacturing, which I put a ring around here. So there's plenty of other centers to look at if you're interested, and I know there are environments here who are interested in applying for this scheme. I would recommend you to look at some of the best of the centers we already have. There's a lot of information to find there about how to set up an application, how to organize the consortium, and organization of the project as such. This is really a major investment for us and for the participants. Normally a very, very good scheme to get into, well worth the while. And we supply about 10 to 12 million normally per year, per center. That's quite a lot of money. At least 50% of the funding must come from the host institution and from the research partners, normally. And at least 25 must come from the business partner, in kind or in cash. We fund these centers for 8 years, normally. 5 years first evaluation, and then an extra 3 years if the evaluation goes well. And So 8 years, 10 million kroner a year, that means 80 million probably per center then. So it's a very good scheme, I would say. When it comes to monitoring, a few words about that. It's a progress report twice a year. A yearly work plan has to be planned for, has to be submitted. Annual report and annual financial reports. Visits. We like to visit our centers, naturally. That's very, very exciting to do. And usually a midway evaluation after 3.5 years. And a final report, eventually. We have had 3 calls so far for SFEs, 2005-06, 2009-10, and 2013-14. And we were planning to have one this year as well. But it's going to be delayed a bit because the ministry wants us to evaluate the program, which is good because, as you see, it's been running for 10 years now. So it's really good to get a thorough evaluation, and that will be done this year. So for this reason, the SFI, the fourth call, which we were planning to do this year, is going to be delayed for about a year, we think, or we're pretty sure. So this means that we can't really say all that much about the SFI 4 call, but it will have to wait until next year at least, 2018 or 2019, with new centers starting up earliest 2020. That's what we know. We also know that it's the fourth SFI call is likely to be similar to the third one. So I talked to the program the other day, and they say that applicants who are interested in applying for the fourth one should look at the third one and everything which is out on our web pages about the third call, because they can get inspiration for that one. It's likely that it will be a lot like call number 3. So it's limited. We know it's probably going to be a limited one, because the first, second, and third call have been different in size. But it looks like this is going to be a limited one, possibly 6 to 7 centers next round from 2020 then. So this is all we know right now. As I'm sure some of you know, my colleague Liv Jorun is the person who is responsible for this scheme, and she's happy to talk to you if you wanna. Those of you who are in position to apply can call Liv directly and talk to her. And right now she can't tell you much more than I can, but in a short while we will know. We will know more once the evaluation process starts. So you can contact Liv Jorun about that if you like to. And I always strongly recommend that those of you who are interested in applying for SFE do contact SFI Manufacturing at Raufoss, because they've done this before. They have all this experience. So talk to them about how to set up an application. I know they want to share. So then I'm going to talk a bit about other funding schemes. Just shortly from us, and what we can offer in general before we round off. We have a lot of different funding schemes, as I've been saying many times, but some things that I could mention for you is, for instance, the funding we have for international research conferences. Has anybody used that here? No? I find most of our programs actually have this possibility, and also Horizon. Didn't you say so, Henning? I think so. Not really. No? But most of our other programs have some sort of funding scheme for international research conferences. You have a question? Yeah. Yeah, most of the time. There could be, I mean, this is not a scheme of its own, but it's always connected to a program. So if you, for instance, if you're in the BIA area program, or let's say you have a biotechnology application and you would normally apply for the BNR program, you would have to go to the BNR program and see if they have this scheme under the program and read exactly what they are funding. But normally it would be a conference, a research conference, and also an international research conference, but not always. It can vary. Sorry? Yeah, I'm not sure. Did I hear you? I don't hear. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you haven't applied for? No? Okay. This is open to apply for, so you can try if you want to. We can talk about that after. I would have to look into that, actually, to see. Yeah. Yeah. Can we talk about that afterwards, and I'll see where it can fit. But you will normally get funding around 80 to 100,000 kroner, depending on the program. And normally it would have to be heavy on research and also international. But when it comes to the more business-generated programs, we can also look into more. Like business conferences, company directed conference. Yeah. Well, normally the host would apply, sort of. Do you mean international hosts or what? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. It would normally be the host, but can I talk to both of you afterwards and see which topic it is, and then we can check with the program. That's the best way of doing it. It would normally be the host, and that would be a Norwegian host, to put it that way. But like if you would organize, like NTNU Gjøvik would organize something here, and you would be the host, that would be natural for you to apply, and not a sort of international organization which is coming here and having a conference here. But we'll have to see to it, actually. The good thing about that is that you can apply any time around the year for these schemes normally, not particular dates or anything. It'll be usually administratively treated, so it's usually possible to apply any time of the year, which is good. This is not offered by all the programs, but quite a few programs, and it's not used a lot, I find. Could be used much, much more. So if you're interested in that, anytime contact me and I will find out which program applies and what rules applies for that particular program. Then we have the industrial PhD scheme, which I'm not sure if you have been involved in here. Yes, you have, actually. Sorry, you do. I'm looking at Marius now. You know. Because Marius and I both come from Eidsiva a long time ago, in my case. And Eidsiva has been collaborating with NTNU Gjøvik, right, on this scheme. So you have some experience already. This is a really great scheme also, where a company employee seeks to do a doctor's degree while being employed in the company, but always naturally in collaboration with you, for instance, as the as giver of the doctoral degree. So what happens here is that a company employee who wants to do a doctor degree on the exact thing which the company is working on, it has to be that and nothing else, can do it in 3 to 4 years, 3 years full-time or 4 years part-time, working 20%, and we will fund about half the cost, or usually up to 450,000, 500,000 kroner. So that's an excellent opportunity, not just for the company, but also for the institution who are giving the doctor's degree. And I think we could all do a better job in sort of selling our doctor's degrees also to companies. This scheme is in use in inland Norway. There's usually a couple at Raufoss each year who are doing this, and also at the biotechnology cluster in the Hamar region. We just had a lady who took her doctor's degrees for Graminor in Hamar, outside Hamar, just before Christmas. So this scheme is in use, but it could be used a lot more, I think. And it's an excellent way of collaborating between academia and the company. Really good way. And you have a lot to offer there, I think, from NTNU. Henning has already talked about the possibilities to apply for PES and PUS, project establishment funding in connection with Horizon 2020. And Hege, you also have this possibility, don't you, to apply for funding for sort of pre-project funding or for the EU? Do you have that? The qualification supply, which Hege just which she was talking about, the sort of, I shouldn't say pre-project, but that's why one way of putting it, is also possible to use for EU projects. So we both have the possibility to fund project establishment there. The Skattefunn R&D tax incentive is an excellent scheme for companies. And I'm sure it will be, I know it's in use already by companies who have been founded within this campus, and I'm sure you will have a lot more of that as you get the TTO. Absolutely excellent scheme. It's a collaboration between us at the Research Council and Innovation Norway. So we collaborate on this scheme. Fantastic possibility. Easy to apply for. It's tax deduction. So everybody who sort of fulfills the requirements gets the money. It's not you don't compete with anybody else. And companies who want to do research or development projects, doesn't have to be research, just development in general, can apply to get 20% of the funds they use on a development project deducted on the tax. So it's a bit like getting a grant also, but you get it after the project is finished. And it's also an excellent possibility for researchers to collaborate with companies, which is a little bit forgotten, I find, because companies can get as much as 40 million a year within this scheme now per company. That means that they can also buy research from you. And if I look at all the three, we have only two now. We have only one university college now. I'm trying to learn this. And one university. But if I look at the way it looked when we had three university colleges, you were the only one which really had a lot of collaboration with companies within this scheme. So you have a lot of experience already, and it's a great scheme, really, really good one. So that could also be, you know, more actively used, I think, also for research, because we see that within this scheme, most companies use this without using researchers because they don't have to, but they could. So don't forget about that one. I put some brochures just outside here if you want to learn more about that also. We also have quite a few innovation funding schemes for the public sector. As of last year, we haven't really had that much in that sector before for a while, but we got some funding from the ministry as of last year, and it will continue for about 10 years at least. We usually have 10-year programs. Quite a few different schemes, which I can't really go into today, but I know that some of you are into health technology, of course, and there would be possibilities within these schemes. So if anybody's interested in that, I'm possibly quite likely, very likely, having a seminar on that on the 26th here. And that's for, I'm not sure what they call it in English, the Department for Omsorgsforskning. What would that be? Yeah. The Center for Omsorgsforskning, right? I think they're changing their name as well, aren't they? I'm probably giving, together with a colleague, a seminar for them on the 26th. I'm just mentioning this. So we will present all the schemes which are geared towards the public sector, and that's mainly health. So if anybody's interested, you can talk to me about that afterwards. It's really only for the center, that's why we haven't really opened up, but it should be definitely possible to attend if you would like to, as it's in-house here. We arrange a lot of conferences, as you will know. I'm not sure if you've looked into our homepage, but we have a lot of conferences, mostly at Lysaker, but also all around the country. And some of them are also here. Not sure if I can show you a little bit. Are you familiar with our homepage? I'm sure you are, but as you can, this is our homepage in English. It's not always easy to find out how to make it English, but it's up here. We're hiding it. So it's this one, to change the language, okay? I was looking myself the other day like crazy before I found it. But here's the English version, and you have the events here, right? So here's where we are right now. And you will see that there are so many possibilities here to attend seminars all the way. And many of them will certainly be arranged by Henning and his team. A lot of interesting stuff about Horizon. So please just keep track, take a look, and apply for our newsletter, of course. Where are we now here? We have a main newsletter, for the whole council, which you can apply for. But then every program has their own newsletter also, because otherwise it would be impossible to have everything in one newsletter. That would kill us all. So if you want sort of the general one, you just apply for that. And then if you have a specific interest, you do that. And Henning, as you mentioned, Horizon 2020 have several newsletters also, so you can get advice from Henning on which one you should pick. And I know there's one on ITC, yeah? Because Kim has been advising earlier before. Yeah. Every 2 weeks, yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of information, and that's really the best way to keep track of all the conferences we have at the national level. And if I arrange a conference or a seminar which is open, it's also in the calendar. So you can keep track. And I keep a mailing list also, but I can't keep everybody, so I usually send it to Nils, for instance, in this case, or Ola, and get help to distribute things that way. But if you want to be on my mailing list, please feel free to tell me, and I'll include you. We do quite a lot of seminars and courses here also in inland Norway, and quite frequently I do it together with Hege and Christian too. We have Hege and I have a running scheme every year on how to write a good project proposal for us. That's not for the EU. We have excellent EU courses on that, which Henning mentioned. We had one of those up here actually also, but it's a couple of years ago now. Yeah. Mm. So if you want to bring some of them back, please do. I think we had two. There was one here actually, and there was one in Hedmark. Yeah. With yeah. Yeah, so if you want to bring somebody up, please do. So we have a course on how to write a good project proposal for us, sort of for the normal schemes, Hege and I, and it's quite good, isn't it? People smile when they go out, let's say that. No, but I mean, I think it's good if you're not very experienced with writing applications for us. And if you have master students or doctoral students who haven't really been doing this before, I think it's a pretty good scheme. It's also a good scheme for those who want to advise on how to, you know, apply. So we usually do that once or twice a year. We haven't really decided, but I think it's going to be before the summer, most likely. We usually do it once in Hedmark and once in Oppland. Sometimes here, sometimes Lillehammer. We change a bit around. But we'll be happy to do it. I think we did it in Lillehammer last time, so we'll be happy to do it here if there's interest from NTNU. It's quite a good scheme, which is developed by us, and we're running these courses all around the country every year. We do quite a bit of workshops and seminars, and that's sometimes on our own initiative, but also on request. And that's good for you to know, I think, that if you have a research group and you're interested in a particular scheme, whether it's within Horizon or our other programs, you can just ask and we can see if we can set it up. That's what I'm doing on the 26th here for Center for Omsorgsforskning. They asked if we could do that, and if we have a group, a large enough group, we'll do that. That's my job, so please just ask. And I also do, like Christian and Hege, I also do one-to-one meetings as much as I can. That's a nice part of my job, to do one-to-one meetings with researchers or research groups or companies. So just give me a call. It's my job to help you. That's I think you started off by saying that. That's the most important message, I think, from all of us today, all of us who've spoken here today. That it's my job to help you. Don't be afraid to call us. Don't be afraid to call us and ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask stupid questions. That's what we're here for. I know that people are a bit afraid sometimes to ask questions, but it's much better to ask, as Hege said before, contact us before you're applying, than, you know, working on something which is going slightly in the wrong direction. So please do give us a call. If I can't answer, I'll advise you to the right program and the right person. I can advise you on how to set up a good application if you need that type of help. And otherwise, we're here for you. That's what we're here for. So keep in contact, subscribe to our newsletters, and you can follow me on Facebook, also Hege and also Christian. I should have included you, but this is my Facebook address, Norges Forskningsråd Innlandet. So we have one each for each region now, and on Twitter it's my name, but I'm only twittering in relation to my job. So I try to, all the arrangements we do, other things we do, I try to post there. So if you want to see what's going on, do follow me. And Hege has a Facebook address, Also, Regional Forskningsfond, is it? RFF, RFF, ENN, L, probably, RFF Inland. And you have Innovation Norge Inlandet, yeah. Excellent.